Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Virginia Breen, who is the mother of three beautiful children, two of whom are profoundly affected by autism. Besides working to heal her children, Virginia is a venture capitalist, investing in high-tech companies, and she sits on both corporate and nonprofit boards. With Virginia Breen, we go inside the pages of a book co-authored by her daughter Elizabeth entitled, I Am In Here, The Journey of a Child with Autism Who Cannot Speak But Finds Her Voice, published by Ravel. Virginia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Talk to us about Elizabeth and the journey you've had with I Am In Here, the book that both of you have co-authored.
Well, Elizabeth is my 13-year-old daughter, and she has autism, and she cannot speak. But she has found a way to type, and with this, we have been able to see a beautiful mind, and she expresses herself mostly through poetry. And for us, it's been really quite a beautiful thing to see how she tells us in her poetry about what it's like to live with autism. And she also has some pretty interesting observations for the world around her.
Mm. Now, Elizabeth is just one of three of your children, yes?
That is correct. Yes, I have three wonderful children, and two of them happen to be on the autism spectrum. Elizabeth's older brother, Charles, he is 15, and he manifests his battle with autism very differently. He can speak, and in fact, he often speaks all the time. Mm. So, again, for parents, this is often just such a unique battle with each child, and that's why when we have, you know, made our teams up of the people who help us every single day, whether it's on the medical side or the educational side, it's often that we do the same thing for both of these children, and they may react very differently. And so we have to make sure that we think of them as individuals and help them in the way they need to be helped.
Now, it's no secret to our audience that my husband Bruce and I have three children as well, and two of them fall in the autism spectrum, not unlike, in a very real way, the experience that you're going through. One thing that we've learned is that with autism, when you've met one autistic child, you've met just one autistic child. I mean, they're all so different in how this manifests itself in their lives.
Absolutely. It is very true. And, you know, Elizabeth tells us, I think, very much the perspective of particularly those children who cannot speak. And in fact, the book's title, I Am In Here, comes from one of her poems where we had gone to two different speech specialists, one focused on apraxia, which is the inability to move the sort of muscles appropriately for speech, and the other was initiation, which is, you know, the beginning, to get the beginning of a word out, and trying to figure out which of these two things were her problem. Unfortunately, the initiation person said it was mostly apraxia, and the apraxia person said it was mostly initiation. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've been around the world with many experts, and she remains pretty much a medical mystery. Most people tell us, neurologists from Harvard included, that they have never met a child who is cognitively so incredibly bright and yet has such an inability somehow to get her mouth to move. But Elizabeth gives an answer in her poem, which is the title of the book, I Am In Here. And so, as always, I like to read some of her poetry because it says things much better than me. She wrote this poem called Me. She wrote, I sometimes fear that people cannot understand that I hear. And I know that they don't believe I go to every extreme to try to express my need to talk. Mm. If only they could walk in my shoes, they would share my news. I am in here and trying to speak every day in some kind of way.
Wow. I think as mothers of children with autism, we know that, don't we? Deep down, I mean, we know our babies. And we
know
they're in there.
Matter of fact, Elizabeth spoke up until she was 15 months, and then she stopped speaking suddenly, and it really was very difficult to reach her. But yet there were these moments when she would look at me, and she would blink her eyes, like almost like a stroke victim, very slowly and deliberately. And I knew she was telling me, I am in here. You know, keep trying to reach me. And that's why we never gave up. And wonderfully, we found a woman named Soma Mukhopadhyay, who has a methodology called the Rapid Prompting Method. It's talked about a lot in the book, and it's also on our website. To give parents the ability to see this method that happened to work for Elizabeth and I think about 1,000 other nonverbal children and adults, to type out not just the picking of, you know, storyboards, but typing out full sentences and thoughts and a means of communication. And, you know, again, the book is a lot about the heroes that have helped us in our journey, and one of them at the top of the list is Soma, who taught Elizabeth how to type.
Mm. The website would be www.iaminherebook.com.
That's correct. That's right.
And I think we need to emphasize that autism comes in a very wide spectrum. It is something that, if I'm not mistaken, before 1985, 1 in 10,000 children were diagnosed autistic. After 1985, this unbelievable bubble started to occur, and it is now, the last I heard was 1 in 110.
That's correct.
And
it's 1 in 60 boys, because it's 5 times more prevalent in boys.
That's right. And so you and I, both as parents, you get to the point where we don't know what caused it. We have our theories, and people get into battles back and forth over the years. The last 20-plus years, we've been dealing with it. There's a cause over here. There's a cause over there. But again, the fact is we have to deal with it because it's in our homes. It's in the lives of our children.
That's right. And I think that Elizabeth, you know, has... This book is about the joy Elizabeth finds in every day.
Mm-hmm.
And we would take her poems because she just gives these little gems to us whenever she feels like it. Every day after school, we ask her, do you have a poem? And most of the time she types out no. But then every once in a while, something will just flow right out of her. And we would post these on some of these different websites that parents flock to get support and answers. And we got these overwhelming responses from parents saying, thank you, this has inspired me to, you know, fight the battle another day. And so, for example, one of these little gems that she wrote, I think she was around 10 years old, she wrote, the things I know for sure. And when she typed that out, I was sitting there shaking, like, what is she going to tell me? The things I know for sure. There is a God. I am loved. The sun will shine. I will survive autism. Mm.
Praise God.
Absolutely. And, you know, people have told me, I substitute whatever my battle is for that word, I will survive autism. It might be depression, alcoholism, unemployment, divorce. We all have a battle. Elizabeth happens to have autism, and she's saying, I'm going to make this work because I remember the core things in my life that are going to get me through.
Oh, absolutely. And I learned this late in the process as well, because when we first realized autism had made its way into our lives,
mm-hmm.
I mean, because it is, it's like a Leviathan that just plops itself right in the middle of your, what you thought was your family and your home. The thing that I came to realize is that my son, my daughter, my kids are going to make it to heaven. They are just, they're lambs. They're God's lambs.
Mm-hmm.
They're here for us, whether or not, you know, how we respond to them, how the community, how the world treats them, that will determine where we go, because they're the innocents. And it has caused us to break out of what we thought our lives should be. Instead, it gave us the opportunity to show us what our lives could be.
Absolutely. One of the little stories in Elizabeth's book is about a Dutch-born priest named Henry Nouwen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you are familiar with his writings.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, he is one of those shining lights who are in the book because, again, they have this book is all about getting the inspiration to move forward. And Henry was at the top of what you would think is the sort of the earthly, hierarchy. Here he taught at Harvard and Yale, and he was terribly depressed. And he ended up the last 10 years of his life in this small community up in Canada, taking care of physically and mentally handicapped individuals. And he spent that every single morning for hours with a young man named Adam. And he dressed him, and he fed him, and he bathed him. And he ended up getting a visitor, one of his author friends, I think, who came and saw his morning routine and said, you know, maybe somebody else should do this. You know, you should be writing more books. You're kind of too important, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you don't understand. It's I, not Adam, who is the main beneficiary from this friendship.
Mm-hmm.
And after Adam died unexpectedly, he wrote a book called Adam, God's Beloved. And it says exactly what you just said,
mm-hmm.
which it's not at the mountaintop that we find ourselves feeling God in our lives. It's when we're serving the basic needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's taught me a tremendous amount about where I find God in my life. It's when I have to, after a long day, unfortunately still help Elizabeth with, you know, taking a shower because she's not fully independent yet. And I try to remember Henry whispering in my ear, you have the choice in everything to decide whether it's a moment of resentment or a moment for joy.
Yeah, very important to remember this. We're talking with Virginia Breen, the author, along with her daughter Elizabeth, of I Am In Here, The Journey of a Child with Autism Who Cannot Speak but Finds Her Voice. This is much your story as well, isn't it?
Well, I think it's the story of every parent, not even just parents with children with autism. I mean, we all want to have deep and meaningful relationships with our children. And how do you do that when there are words? And how do you do that even, in my case with Elizabeth, when we didn't even have words? Well, Elizabeth has taught me. We did a lot with nature. We went for long walks. And we tried to spend time together in ways that are meaningful for her. And I think every parent is looking to do that. And sometimes it takes you slowing down and you stopping the email for a
mm-hmm.
while and getting into what's your child's world. And so Elizabeth is kind of like every child, just in a very concentrated form. And so the book is a lot about what she has taught me about trying to be happy in life today. So, for example, one of her poems is called Happiness. And she also, for each of her little poems, she writes a reflection. And sometimes for me, the reflections are as interesting as the poems.
Mm-hmm.
So for her reflection for this happiness poem, she wrote, I truly believe people should follow their dreams. If you always put off things you want to do, they may never happen. Life is not predictable. So her poem is, why do people say someday? Why not today? If you always say someday, you may never get to do things that make you happy. Go out and be happy and make it snappy.
Mm. Perfect. Yeah, get out there right now. Get busy with it. And I think that's the thing that is so striking about this particular book, I Am In Here, The Journey of a Child with Autism Who Cannot Speak But Finds Her Voice. It is one that could help others understand what even we have difficulty trying to explain. And what I'm talking about is primarily grandparents. Aunts, aunts and uncles. It's the family, the extended family that ends up and can be the greatest support for those parents. Because for the parents, every single day is a challenge.
That's right.
I mean, you don't, I don't know how to explain it. Maybe you can affirm this, Virginia, but when you wake up, your ears are always on. When you have a little baby in the house, you're always listening. You're always wondering, is the baby going to cry? Is he asleep? You know, you're always aware. As the kids get older, that kind of diminishes as they take on their independence.
Yeah.
With kids with autism, that you're always on.
That's right.
It's always heightened, and it doesn't stop, and we really don't know if it ever will.
That's right. And so, again, I think it is, the situation is that people want to help us and support us and understand. And with Elizabeth talking about what it's like to do the things she does, will give them some insight. So, for example, she wrote a poem called Me Revisited. Mm-hmm. So this is that title poem a few years later. And her commentary on the little reflection before the poem is, some of the people at school who do not know me make me feel uncomfortable. They stare at me. I would not rock and shake if I could stop it. It just happens sometimes. I wish they could understand, but mostly I wish I could explain it to them. And then her poem is, I can't sit still. What's wrong with me? My body is doing things I can't explain. My dignity I am trying to maintain. People stare at me when I rock and shake. I don't know how much more I can take. So much to deal with going on inside of me. I wish I could get better. I want to be set free from my silent cage. Grandparents can then understand.
Right.
The teachers at school can understand. You know, this child doesn't want to sit there and rock and shake. It's a coping mechanism. And even when they are doing some of these things, they're still learning. They're still listening. You can just ignore those behaviors and assume intelligence and keep teaching our children. But again, it takes this kind of speaking from her perspective that got her teachers to do that. And that's how she was able to be mainstreamed in public school with an aide, is because she told us these things in her poetry. And then we looked beyond those behaviors.
I think that's incredibly important that people realize that even though they may be having they might be having what we might consider a staring look in their eyes, or they may not be giving you eye contact, which
is
very difficult. I mean, that's part of that's if there is something that's typical, that can sometimes be the case. The things that we pick up as nonverbal cues, they don't. They don't read the room. They can't. That realize that they can hear and they're picking up just about everything. I mean, they understand in very real ways what you're saying, and that type of rebuff or even a cold cutting remark or indifference, it hurts them probably even more than it would hurt us.
And so incredibly sensitive. I mean, Elizabeth is very, very perceptive if somebody starts talking about her in front of her as if she's not there. It's like, talk to her, not about her. She's hearing you even before we found a way to have her type out her responses. It's just respectful that she is there and she's a person and she's listening. In fact, I think that given that most of our children with autism have these hypersensitivities also to light and sound and these other senses, I think that's what gives them in many cases a very heightened sense of the spiritual and of God in their lives, and seeing and feeling God in nature. And Elizabeth, a lot of her poetry in the book is about sensing God all around us. And so one of her poems is called God Loves Us All. Mm-hmm. And her reflection is, I wrote this poem because I want people to know the power of faith. No matter what you face in your life, sickness, hunger, poverty, or just not having a relationship with God, He is always there for anyone who calls on Him. And her poem is, it does not matter who you are, it does not matter if you stray far, God is always there for you. In spite of what you may do, His love is stronger than anyone can know. You just have to know to go to God.
Mm. Profound words of wisdom from that beautiful voice of your daughter. And I also, in that chapter on joy, there is, I think all of us need to take Elizabeth's advice here in the poem called Take Time to Pray.
Absolutely.
The power of prayer is so fully strong. The Bible has told of it all along. Look to God. He will see you through. He wants to take care of you. Trust in Him and believe.
Absolutely. She just cuts through it.
She does. And like the little, the aside that she puts on this, she writes, I need a lot of prayer. My life is hard. God help me.
That's right.
You know,
life is difficult.
You think we have problems. Well. Anybody out there listening, you think you've got problems? You know, but look here, look what Elizabeth is doing. Look what most of the kids, when given the opportunity, the love and the encouragement to be able to express themselves. I know that I also have a very verbal child with autism, and they too need understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the challenge is to listen. Where one, you're listening deeply for every, I know when our son Michael, for example, he has had trouble speaking, that when he says, I love you, I know he means it because he had to work so hard to give it.
Yes.
Well, on the other hand, our daughter, when she will go on and on and on, but it's because she loves and she wants to share, and her world is so big and she's not even looking at you because it's all just flowing out. It's you still listen. You don't stop listening. And receive it. And it's a challenge for parents, and usually in a lot of families, isn't it true, Virginia? If you have one, you just might have two children with autism at least.
That's right. I mean, they have shown that if you have one child, you do have a higher risk of having another with autism. And so there are families like ours who are dealing with multiple children, and again, like ours, who are often quite different and their own unique challenges. And so my heart goes out to all of those parents. And in fact, that's why we wrote this book, because it really is one of these where I have gotten so much encouragement and love and support over many, many years that we have been waking up every morning and trying to make it a beautiful day from other parents who have shared with me the joys in their lives. I mean, one of our mantras is celebrate your victories, big and small. So just as you said, you celebrate your victory when your son gets out the words, I love you, because you don't take it for granted. It is a huge victory for you to recognize that in your daily life. And so that's what we try to do in this book, is we find out those heroes at our schools who have been some of these teachers who have taken Elizabeth into her classroom and who have just surrounded her with love and said, I don't quite know how to work with a child who doesn't speak, but together as a team, her wonderful aide who has been with Elizabeth for over 10 years, named Terry. She's another incredible hero in this book.
All those paraprofessionals out there who are in schools serving in special education programs.
Hats
off to all of them.
They are angels on earth.
Say it again. I have walked over you.
They are angels on earth, these people. Terry, she has stuck by Elizabeth in good times and in bad, and there are times which are harder than others. Elizabeth went through an incredibly difficult time this past year where she actually couldn't go to school. We had to have Terry come here and homeschool her, Terry, me, and Elizabeth for an entire year. And thank God she is now much better and she is back in school. But it was a very difficult time, and we talk about it in the epilogue of the book, is that the book is about hope and joy and about the inspiration we've gotten from so many people. But the epilogue, you know, I do talk about how the past year was really tough, and there were times where I thought, where's my hope? But, you know, we kept at it, finding those small, tiny flowers in the crannied wall, those little things we could celebrate along the way until we got through the really tough time.
And it does. I have to go to the chapter on suffering.
Yes.
And the poem on life struggles. In a tunnel dark and dreary, then I start to feel very weary. All of a sudden I see a light, and then I start to feel all right. Life is full of twists and turns, getting ahead and being burned. Experience is the only way to learn.
Absolutely.
Wow. And then the sub note below it. Sometimes life is tough. We even struggle to do the things we love, even writing poetry.
That's right.
Boy, there's so much just to pack in there. We struggle to do the things we love, even writing poetry. I think for most people, we realize that life is a struggle, no matter where you are, no matter where you live. It's how you look at it. And I think that's the joy of this work, Virginia, is that you have this big, giant blowtorch of hope that just shines out of this work. I just pray that it gets in the hands of all those who need it, you know, not only extended family members, but also in the heart of the family that is experiencing autism, but also to those workers, those angels that you talked about, who are the special ed teachers and the paraprofessionals and just anyone trying to understand what's happening, you know, this great gift that even in it seems like tumultuous times, it around us, that there are these beautiful lambs that God has placed in our, you know, what will we do?
Absolutely. And Elizabeth says it best. She says in her poem, bright future. She has a bright future, and all of our children do. And so she writes her poem, bright future. When you see a tree, think of me growing strong and tall. When you see the sun shining brightly, think of me, tough and mighty. When you see the water on the lake, think of the future I plan to make. Me, strong, mighty, free.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
I wish we had more time. But Virginia, any final thoughts?
I think that God is in it with us. And I just hope and pray that the people who are listening, whatever their battle is, autism or otherwise, that they can try to hear the words that Elizabeth tells us about finding the hope and joy in life.
Beautiful. Virginia, thank you so much.
Thank you.
With Virginia Breen, we've gone inside the pages of I Am In Here, The Journey of a Child with Autism Who Cannot Speak But Finds Her Voice. To learn more about this book and for information on educational, behavioral, and medical interventions, as well as book and internet resources for further reading, go to IamInHereBook.com. To hear and download this discussion along with many others, go to www.InsideThePages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, Insights from Today's Most Compelling Authors.